divert your attention towards something devotedly, single-minded, being single-minded, focusing on something. And then in tasawwuf and tazkiyah and ihsan, muraqabah is used. It is used in the sense that Allah Azza wa Jal is seeing you, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is with you, and Allah Azza wa Jal is all-hearing and hearing whatever you say. So there are different states of muraqabah. If you think, if you are this state that Allah is looking at me, then this does mean that it should have the effect after some time, that because Allah is looking at your zahir, your body, so don't act in a way, don't do anything physically which is against actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And if you think that Allah is even looking and aware of your mind and thoughts, then even don't bring anything in your mind which displeases Allah. And if you believe Allah Azza wa Jal even is looking and is aware of your heart, then don't let any bad quality like hasad, love of dunya, love of ascent, fame and name settle in your mind. So these are different stages of the muraqabah and degrees. So how often you do and how more you are aware of it, of this awareness and your realization, your amal starts to change. Because we are all aware that when people are looking at you, people standing in front of the crowd, they say we feel shy, we feel nervous. Why? People are throwing stones at them. People, if you ask them, someone to do a 5-10 minute speech, if they have not done it, just standing, sometimes their legs are shivering first time. People, they get nervous, they say we get blackouts and our minds goes blank. This is just the fact of people seeing you. Because you think people are watching you, people are seeing you, people start to become nervous. Otherwise, people who are sitting, they're not saying anything. But just that awareness that so many eyes are looking at you have an effect on you. Similarly, when you have this thought and this belief, the vision of Allah is on you, then this will have effect. Why it doesn't have effect? Because we don't actually realize this vision, or this thought only stays for a while, then it goes away. In awliya Allah, the awliya and sulaha, like Shaykh al-Islam, Dr. Tahir al-Qadri, Murtazilul Ali, once mentioned about Hazrat Sayyidina Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmahullah, he used to give preference to one of his disciples and students. Yeah, this my student is better one. He used to give him preference. The other, they used to become little bit jealous that why this person is getting special treatment, why this person is getting such attention from the Sheikh. The Sheikh wanted to answer them, and he gave every one of them a bird like a chicken or a bird or a rooster or some kind of bird. And he said that all my murids, here is everyone have a chicken, you have a chicken, you have a chicken, live chicken. Go and slaughter it somewhere where no one is watching you. No person is seeing you. Slaughter it there. They all went actually with their hens and chickens. And someone went to the mountains, someone went to the jungle, someone went into the back room, someone went into the shadows, someone went into the back street, etc. Wherever they thought no one is watching, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, finished the chicken. They all came with the chicken, slaughtered their heads hanging and heads in one edge, and actually the other chicken, the blood actually chipping from the chickens. The only one murid, the only one student who he used to give preference to, his chicken was still making noise. His chicken was still actually talking and speaking in its own way. making noise and sound. Therefore, the, where is this noise coming from? After slaughtering, how can the chicken speak? But they saw it didn't have any blood, it was as it was. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmahullah, in front of all of his students, he said to that murid, that why have you not slaughtered that chicken? He said, Ya Sayyidi, O my master, you said to slaughter it where no one is seeing you, and I didn't find any place where Allah is not watching me, where Allah is not seeing me. So I could not find any place, so I couldn't actually do it. So this means the others were forgetful of Allah. Maybe they remember Allah in the prayers, but other times they think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't realize the presence of Allah. And this his disciple and his murid was always realizing the presence of Allah, so he could not do. He could not actually. Like some of the shuyukh, Hazrat Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmahullah, great wali, he would not eat very much at the time of Hajj. Days he would not eat. In Mina, the people spend 2, 3, 5 days there, here, there. And people asked him that the food is available, why don't you eat so much? Even you eat not even little. He said, I feel shy to go into toilet again and again in the presence of Allah. I feel shy doing this again. So I only eat whatever is necessary because I feel. And the wife of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, wife, Hazrat Fatima, rahmahullah, was a very pious lady, the wife of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz. She said that my husband Umar bin Abdul Aziz would faint when he will come closer to me as husband and wife relationship. He will faint actually and fall down because of the haya and presence of Allah, and that Allah is watching me. Although he was doing a halal thing, although he was, it was halal, his wife was halal for him, he could sleep with him, but just because he thought that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at me, he said many a time he would come near me because of, to fulfill my rights, and he will faint. Why? At the strength of the presence of Allah. And Allah is watching me, and I'm doing this, although it is halal. And the other ladies said to the queen, she was the queen. She was the queen of that time, Hazrat Sayyidah Fatima, of the wife of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And they said to other ladies, said, you don't dress, you don't do makeup, you stay in such clothes which are not nice, and they are not very clean, they are not very attractive, and you should wear other clothes which will look nice and attractive to your husband and things. She said, Hazrat Fatima said, the other ladies who asked her a question, that why is it that you don't dress well? Even in women, when there is no man present, you still are dressing not very effective. She said, I like to dress like my husband likes. My husband likes me to be in these clothes, that's why. If he likes to me be in a very attractive clothes, I would have. My husband Umar bin Abdul Aziz, since he became caliph, he said, I like these clothes. Why? He said, because I have a responsibility of Muslim, and if I all the time find you attractive, I will be paying a lot of attention to you. So I fulfill your rights, but not too much time I can spend with you. And that's how people, awliya Allah and the Sahaba and the Salihin, had this sense of muraqabah. So that's what we teach in the course of tazkiyah, self-purification of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbab, and awliya Allah. They teach this quality. When you earn this quality, you really become a wonderful person, because all the time Allah is with you. You don't feel alone ever. You see, people say, I feel lonely, I feel lonely. They're being lonely because they are forgetful of Allah. One of the brothers is asking, what is the need for the course of purification? Can I not just pray my namaz and hajj and all that? Is that not enough? One brother is asking, is hajj, roza, namaz is not sufficient? What is the need of the tasawwuf and tazkiyah and the course of self-purification? Is my namaz and roza is not sufficient? The reason is that namaz and roza, the fasting and prayers and hajj, they are the pillars of Islam. They are not Islam. They are the pillars of Islam. If I say, other brothers say, what is the need of this carpet? What is the need of these walls? What is the need of this ceiling? Why? We have pillars here. Well, pillars have their own function, building will stand. But it doesn't mean you don't need anything in the room. Fasting, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat are the pillars of Islam. And tazkiyah teaches you how to erect the building upon those pillars. So if you don't build the building of Iman and Ihsan, what will the pillars will not so much benefit you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one of the hadith that many people on the day of judgment will come, mountains reward will be there like for their salah and their umrah and their hajj and their zakat. There will be mountains and mountains of reward. But because they had not done tazkiyah, they had not done purification, they have not done practice tasawwuf, one person will come and say to angels, oh angels, this person owes me £5,000. I did business with me, he became dishonest, they never gave me back. They say, okay, you get some of his virtues. You can get 5,000, for example, in virtue. There you go. One person comes, he owes me £3. They say, equal to £2 or £3, 700 prayers will be given as a price. Person comes to claim £3, and your 700 prayers will be given to him. Maqbool namaz. Guru sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya, fuqaha, ulama ne farmaya, ke har دو جیسے دو پونڈ دو درہم دو تین درہم کے بدلے میں 700 مقبول نماز دی جائے گی. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that people will be claiming and claiming and claiming. There are a lot of virtues, عمرہ, حج, زکاة, صدقہ, ذکر, everything, but because this person comes, he has done my riba, he has backbited me, okay, 5,000 virtues. Therefore Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said in this Sahih Hadith that a time will come, these mountains and heaps of good deeds will come to an end. There will be still claimants, there will be still people claiming. Angels will say, he doesn't have any good thing to give you now. Like here they say, I don't have anything to give you. Their claimants will say, no, we want justice. This is the Maliki Yawmiddin. We want justice. And we want compensation. They'll say, okay, have you got any sins? They say, we never thought of that. We never thought of any sins. We have mountains of sins. They say, okay, you bring your sins, you put on his shoulders. So Prophet ﷺ said, this person has done practice salah, practice hajj, practice zakah, and good deeds, and end of the day, he will be going into hellfire. And these people are going on to be in the Jannah. Why? Because that's what purification and tazkiyah and tasawwuf teach you, how to purify yourself, your bad habits, your bad character, your misuse of the tongue, misuse of the eyes, misuse of the ears, because then they will protect your good deeds. So the need, salah and namaz and roza, they are such things that they earn good deeds. Like if you go on a, let's say you work for a month and you have a salary, you earn £1,200. Why you put in the bank or why you put in the safe at home is to safeguard that. To earn £1,200 and then no safeguard on it, just putting on the street, that will be, they will go waste. Similarly, with namaz, dhikr, tazkiyah, you earn good deeds, and with purification and tazkiyah, you safeguard them so that they don't go to others. Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmahullah, Imam Hassani said that those people who have wudu ghibat, they are like they have a gun. They have a gun, a big gun, and they are, what they are doing is they are shooting out their good deeds on people, spreading, dividing upon the earth. There is a gun, it's facing this way, and your good deeds are going there. When you do rebirth, your good deeds are going toward those people. That is why Imam Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahmahullah, when someone, he knew someone is not purified, and they are doing their ghibat, they are doing bad, saying bad things about them, he would send them gifts of fruits. He would send them gifts of fruits, say, this is a gift for fruit to you. And he say, oh, Hassan Basri is my enemy, I don't like him, why is he sending fruits to me? They will say, because you have sent some good deeds to him by backbiting, and he has returned goodness with goodness, and he says that really I cannot repay you, because these are worldly things, and you have given me the nekiya, the sawab, the rewards of hereafter. So actually I can't really thank you, but this is a small token, please do accept. So this is those people who understood really. So tazkiya is for safeguarding your good deeds. It's the bank which safeguards it. Otherwise your, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Robba sa'im laysa lahu min siyamihi illa al-jur. There are so many people who fast and they will not get anything from the fast except hunger. So now the person said, I don't want to fast. Now he should ask a question by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is saying that there are people who fast and they will not get any reward except hunger. Who are those people? Those who mallam yada' qawl az-zur, those who don't abandon sinful speech, sinful action, they are the people who actually don't get any reward at the end of the day. Why? Their reward is transferred. They have done a direct debit to many people. There are many people who have done direct debits to many relatives, many of their enemies. Every day they send a portion of virtues and good deeds to them by doing ghibat. And they make sure that they do that every day. So at the end of their life, they won't have anything, because their count themselves will be in debt.
Talking about the outcomes of the past, my question is that are there any outcomes live now, or are they just in the books? If there are, how do you see them? What are the signs to recognize them?
Are there any awliya who exist now? The brother is asking. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this world will continue to exist until one wali is alive. When there will be no wali on the face of the earth, it's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that when there will be no one to say Allah, Allah is the means of highest person on the face of the earth, Allah is going to destroy this earth. So awliya Allah will exist, and coming of Imam Mahdi is a dalil, a great, because he will be one of the greatest wali of this ummah. One of the greatest wali, such wali that Rasulullah ﷺ spoke about him. So such a wali. So his coming, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's coming, and many of the their followers coming, it is an evidence that only Allah are going to stay until the judgment. But who are they? Who are they? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran. They have mainly got two qualities. Awliya Allah have two qualities. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Verily, it is the friends of Allah who know, who have fear, nor will they have grief, nor will they grieve. That's it, the ayat there. Immediately after that, Allah Azza wa Jalla defines who are they. Who are my awliya? Who are my friends? فَرْمَيَا أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, meaning that they are, first thing is that they have a strong belief in Allah. They are always believing in Allah and on His command, in His presence. They always think Allah is with them and they are very strong. You know, nothing can move their belief. Even all the people turn against them, they not bother. They will die like Imam Hussein, but it won't actually make them bow down to evil. Meaning their iman is strong. Firstly, a wali does not compromise on Sharia, on Rasulullah, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't compromise. They don't. If someone does say thing against any proper Islam, Islam, anything, they cut their relationship with them. It comes in the hadith, the waqiyah, the story of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, a great wali, narrator of Imam Bukhari, student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak was married to a woman, and once a guest came in their house, a guest, and he said that, is there anything you should need to give to the guest? She said, yes, there is, but it is for us, what will we eat, and it is not sufficient, you always bring guests. And he said some unsuitable remarks to the guest. And so the guest was hearing, they are getting to come every day, actually, we don't have any manners, etc. And he said that, I mentioned to you that Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, فَلْيُكْرِمُ الزَّيْدِ He should honor the guest. Should honor the guest, not debase the guest. She still continued. Like women sometimes don't listen, so they still continued. And he said that, if you would have done this to me, I would have forgave you. But after I have mentioned the hadith, it is like Rasulullah ﷺ saying this, and you still didn't pay attention, so for the pleasure of Allah and for the pleasure of Rasulullah ﷺ, I cut my relationship from you and I actually separate from you. So he separated. That month he gave one divorce, next month he gave another divorce, next month actually another. According to Sunnah, he separated. After that, he liked his wife. His wife was beautiful, his wife was good with him. But just for the sake of Allah, because the wali means it's a friend of Allah, not friend of wife, you see. That's what wali means. Wali means friend. Waliullah, friend of Allah. He's not friend of his girlfriend or boyfriend or anything. He's friend of Allah. So, he's the best friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in his processions and in his durus and in his discourses and in his gatherings, lot of people used to come. So once a lady, a girl came to listen to his bayan. She was the daughter of the king of the time. She went home and she said to her mother that you said you should marry, you should marry. If you want to marry with me, Abdullah bin Mubarak. He's a very pious man, very scholarly person. He said, his mother said, he is not same as your age, but he said, no, I like him because he is pious, and he is scholar, and he is righteous man. So, the king, the Khalifa, he actually sent a messenger to Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, that I would like to give you my daughter's hand. Do you accept? He accepted. And then when they were married, in the first night, after offering the tahajjud prayer, after the tahajjud prayer, he went to sleep and he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dream. But Abdullah bin Bal was a very pious, he was that normal person. 6 months he would spend in jihad, 6 months he would teach hadith. It's like this. 6 months he spent in jihad, 6 months he would teach hadith. Such a pious man. He saw Allah Azawajal in the dream, in whichever way he saw, and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, "O Abdullah, my servant, you sacrifice a normal woman for me, you divorced her, not for you liked her, but for just my sake and for my messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You forsaken her, and in return of a normal woman, I given you a princess. I gifted you with this princess so that the people know whoever will do transaction and business with me, they will never be at loss. They will never be at loss." So I was saying to you that how you recognize the wali is, firstly, they have very strong belief in Allah. Allazina aman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. They never compromise Allah and the Messenger. Secondly, wakanu yattaqoon. Second meaning that they consistently and continuously practice sunnah and taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they are not one day they are wali, the next day they are shaitan like us. Actually, one day I am very high up, actually I am going to be very pious, very pious, five prayer, tahajjud and everything like some people and do. And then second day they are in the hands of shaitan. They are doing all the things that they do. So the sifat of wali is وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Continuously they abstain from sin and stay in virtue. And if any sin happens, they immediately repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, if you want to recognize a wali, one is their beliefs are strong in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they never compromise. Second is they are following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever you see have the right beliefs of the sunnah wa jama'ah, and practicing sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously in public, in private, on the street, and there he is really a wali outwardly, we can say. And in the books of hadith which Shaykhul Islam has written, one of the hadith it comes that the other sign of the wali is that when you are in his company, you look at him, it reminds you of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, they are not undercover Muslims, in other words. You see, they are undercover police, outwardly, they don't wear the uniform, inwardly, they are actually police. They are not undercover Muslims, outside, looking like kuffar, behaving like kuffar. But inside, brother, really, I love very much Islam. I love Muslim, you know, I am very good at the heart. And Mashaykh says, the person is good at the heart. What is the problem with that? His heart is not bringing some on his outward athlete body as well, if he has a good heart. Like some women say that there should be hijab, parda, to kehti hai, wo kahi orte kehti hai, dil ka parda hona chahiye. Or, ye jism ka parda nahi, dil ka parda hona chahiye. And we say to them, what a wonderful thought has come in you. It never came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his life. And with Abu Bakr Siddiq and Fatima al-Zahra, and he's come in you. And because revelation of Allah has ended on Rasulullah, but revelation of Shaitan still exists, so it can only be that source. But if dil ka parda hona chahiye, to un bewakoofo se koi puche ki dil to pehle hi parde mein hai. Heart is already in the parda. Everyone's heart is not sticking outside, you need a parda over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already put the heart in the parda, in the cage of the chest, and then actually it's hidden in the chest and it has covering on it. Heart is already in parda. What you need parda is whatever is not in parda, like your body. Your body is, if it is naked, you need parda there. Heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the parda of it.
Survivor, another question.
Yes,
it is that people, I hear people say that when there's
when they go back to Vali. Vali can see their needs and how true is that, and to what extent do the people really know what needs are doing and how can he affect them when he's not with them.
Really, what you are saying is not true at all. The signs of the Wali is, as I said, true Iman, true beliefs, following the Prophet ﷺ way of life and conveying the message of Deen. These are the signs of Wali. Mind reading, or they can see whatever is behind them. These are not conditions. They are sometimes karamas. They can appear, they cannot appear. They are not conditions at all. One should never fall for them. Rasulullah, I read hadith in one of the books, I do not know really the source of that, but in the book actually it said that Prophet ﷺ said, if someone comes to you, in one hand they have the sun and in the one hand they have moon, and they are not following my sunnah, they cannot be the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meaning that if a person even say, I can control the sun and the moon and I know this and I know that, but they are not following the deen and the sunnah, they cannot be awliya. They can be from awliya shaitan. Like Dajjal, who will come, he will say to the clouds to send rain, the clouds will send rain. He will say to the dead person to become alive, the dead will become alive. That's what Dajjal will have powers. But he will be the greatest talker, not actually awliya. So people should not be deceived by these witch doctors, amaleen, sorcerers, fortune tellers, palm readers, astrologers who are telling you about stars. You are born in scorpion. You are a human being. Scorpion actually are actually not a good thing actually. So how they say foolish things from kuffar, and even kuffar, they don't believe in these things. And on the TV channels which have these programs, I am amazed at the really foolishness of people. All the TV program which have these astrologers program and fortune tellers and get you to the other side of the world, underneath is written only for entertainment. They have written themselves it's only for entertainment. And me and you are spending 20-30 pounds on the phone and then saying, okay, what next, and then paying 50 pounds off the phone and doing all other things. Rasulullah prohibited from that and shown, if you want to get guidance for future, do namaz istikhara yourself. You don't need to go to anyone, say, please do istikhara for me, please do istikhara for me. Prophet said to Sahaba and Ummah that you do istikhara, it's fully taught namaz, and you ask Allah, I have applied for this job, or I'm going to marry this girl, is it better for me? Make it easy and destine it for me. If it is not better for me, take me away, take her away from me, and then guide me wherever goodness lies. After you've done the dua, then you just try. You go and try for that business, or that job, or that marriage, that proposal. If it's good for you, it will work out. Maybe it will happen. If it's not, doors will close. So Prophet ﷺ mentioned very easy way. But our people, they add things to it. They say, after praying two rakat and salatu istikhara, go to sleep. And actually then you'll see a dream. You see, this is something which people have added from themselves. The Prophet ﷺ never said this. Yes, brother.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. What I wanted to ask you was, what's the blessing in sabr, being patient, and particularly in this time, are we living like a fast world time, we don't know this goes so fast, is it because we're not patient, we don't know this, that's why the time going fast, in the early things, going on the other place.
Brother is asking about the time. Now there are two things regarding time. One is why time flies fast. There are two reasons for it. One is Rasulullah ﷺ said in the hadith that near the day of judgment, time will be constricted. The years will pass like months. The months will pass like, the years actually will pass like a month, and the months will pass like weeks, and the weeks like days. And then, हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने फरमाया कि कुर्बे क़यामत में साल महीनों की तरह गुजरेंगे, महीने हफ्तों की तरह, हफ्ते दिनों की तरह, और दिन लम्हात की तरह. एक तो ये रहता है वन रियलिटी दैट इज डिफाइंड इन कंसीडर. सेकंड इज दैट यू सेइंग दैट इफ यू वांट ब्लेसिंग इन द टाइम पीपल से वी आर बिजी, ऑल्दो थिंग्स विच वी हैव नाउ वी हैव ऑल द अमेनिटीज विच प्रीवियस पीपल डिडंट, लाइक वी हैव मशीन फॉर हूवर and actually cleaning up rubbish, washing machine, dishwasher. Previously, just to go to toilet, they have to spend maybe half an hour to 1 hour to go out somewhere in the meadows and fields and coming back 15-20 minutes, and clothing. But still those people did a lot of things in their time. Why, in spite of having all this technology, the mashayikh say that this is because if a person commits sins, the blessing out of their life, they become corrupted. And second thing is that if you follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah, how he used to spend time, he had a timetable in properly South Islam. Our blessed mothers, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, say that Rasulullah used to come in his house and he would divide his time in three portions. One, he will serve and he will spend with the household, and one he will actually spend for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one third he will spend for rest. But we don't actually plan the thing, we are doing things as ad hocly as they are coming, we are doing. So because of doing sins, the barakah goes out. And secondly, following Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way of life, if you are, let's say, wake up 1-2 o'clock and then you get up 1-2 o'clock, you last at the half of the day and the night as well. So if you're not working or you are working that during the daytime, then if you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life pattern that he used to sleep and how he used to actually divide his time, inshallah you will see blessing in your time and you'll be able to do more in less time. Our problem is that when we're sitting on the front of internet, we are sitting there for hours. Or maybe, yes, I'm just checking my email, and then actually there for 1 hour there. And then, okay, I'm looking at the news, 1 hour there. So, so people who do something, they really stick to whatever they have planned. And second thing is, regarding time, that you should plan things around your necessary things. Don't, let's say, prayer is necessary. Fajr, Zuhur, Asr. So plan your life around the prayers. If you set a time for dhikr, if you set a time for reading Quran or doing something good, plan your time around those things. Rather planning time around the dunya, then you will miss prayers, other things will be upside down. So you bring out your necessary things of life and then plan around it. And then alhamdulillah, you will be able to do it. But if you have to sacrifice, then you will sacrifice something which is not necessary. So that won't actually affect you.
My first question was the blessing being patient
and struggle? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal has said, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ السَّابِرُونَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. You see, many things have reward. This has 10,000 reward. This has this reward. Mukhlif ajr. Sabr is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بغير حساب. It has reward unlimited. Infinite. And what does sabr mean? إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ السَّابِرُونَ. And what does sabr mean? Sabr literally means to stop. Sabr means, so they say, there are mainly two types of sabr. One is sabr means to stop when there is a passion, when there is a flame of desire actually coming in you, to keep yourself constricted there, sabr, so that you don't act upon this evil desire or wish or passion. That's one sabr, to abstain from sin. The other sabar is on obedience. When you, let's say, you want to get up before Fajr prayer, now that is obedience thing to do. Then to get up at night, it is not very pleasant to get up at that time. Then to actually do wudu and then to come out. So that means that to do any good deed, the little bit of inconvenience you have to go through, then there is sabr on that. And then there is a sabr on musiba. On musiba. Musiba means actually any problem, a thing which comes. And what does sabr mean? When you are in a problem, it means don't do, in response to that problem, don't do anything which will displease Allah. So let's say someone swears at you, and if you hate them and swear both of them, then means that you have responded without patience. So sabr, literally, it has the meaning of stopping yourself, restraining yourself. And you have to train yourself. It doesn't come with just listening and just actually saying that practice sabr. It's going to come with a training. You have to resist in order to achieve this quality. All these questions you ask in the blessing, the management of time, or how to attain sabr, this is what this course of self-purification is about. This is, it practically teaches you the, and brings these qualities in you and manifests in you gradually, and you have these necessary qualities of humility. And then there are individual left, some people are shy, they are most welcome, I'll be sitting in that room, inshallah, Zawajal. And inshallah, that's how we should help each other, that somehow we die with iman, helping each other in dunya and actually akhirah. Look, the Sahaba, wherever they came, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri, Istanbul, it is Muslim country, at least now. Although they are not practicing, most of them, but still they are great scholars there, etc. We have come all the way to Europe. Instead of these people turning into our lifestyle, we are being colored into their lifestyle. Opposite is happening. And these people on the Day of Judgment, they say that in the comes that there are many people who themselves will be pious, but they will be going into hellfire. The students ask, why is that? They said, because these kuffar and sinful people are going to hold them people, or your friend, this is my friend Jack, this is my friend Tom, this is Harry. So Harry is going to hold you, that as the Abdullah, why didn't you tell me about Islam? Look, I'm going to hellfire today. Oh Allah, look, this person I ate kebab with and I gave him whatever that I had and had spent a good time, but he had never invited me. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, Harry or Tom, take this Abdullah with you as well. Wherever you're going. So many people will be going in hellfire because of actually, not that they are themselves, not, but they didn't pass the message on. Because it is great unfavor, disfavor rather, actually, to people. Thank you for your time. And inshallah, whenever we were on the trips to Pakistan, Turkey, and Bangladesh, and we went to visited, show you next time, inshallah, on the screen, we visited the Central Secretariat of Idara Minhajul Quran, and there in the all the students who were there, they arranged a program, and this course of self-purification was presented there in the same way which you see here. Jaise aapne wo diagram mein dekha, isi tarah Idara Minhajul Quran Lahore mein bhi wo pura program hua. Next time when we have program, we'll show you the DVD of it is on the screen as well. So now, inshallah, we're going to Morocco, and people go for holidays, but if you go for deen, you will get holidays as well as actually there's a reward in there. And Hazrat Ali Hajveri, Tata Dhani Baksh Rahmatullah Ali, or another wali, they said that people go for holidays, they go for holidays for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 4 months, and he said, that if you act upon what I say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you for a long holiday in Jannah, forever and ever and ever. Holiday will not be Paris or Florida or Pakistan or India. Holiday country will be Jannah, and the holiday will be so long that never going to come end. That is the true holiday. Any holiday which comes to an end really is not really a holiday because it's over. So Hazrat Data Nani Bhaksh ne farmaya ki do bande mehnat kar yahan dekhe pura saal gore musalman us gore kafir bhi mehnat karte hain. 1 year they work 8, 9, 12, 10 months, and then after working 11 months 4 weeks, 2 weeks they go. So 11 months they work and 1 month they go for holiday. But if you have the deal, 1 month you work, 1 month you work, and 11 months you are on holidays. Everyone will go for that company. Everyone says, yes, I want a job there. 1 month working, 11 months holiday somewhere, with the pay and everything. So here, for 50, 60 years, you work, and for 60 billions and trillions years, you are on holiday. So that is a very good deal if one wants to enter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua karne ke alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam ala shafi al-anbiya al-mursaleen. Ya arhamar rahimin, bless all of us and all Muslims with guidance and the taqwa and sunnah, and guide even kuffar toward Islam, and use us as a means to convey the message of Islam. Especially bless all the people and Muslim living in Nelson, their houses, their children, their households, families, and in all their matters of rizq and provisions, Ya Rahman Rahim, and all the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Enable us actually to live with goodness with each other, Ya Rahman Rahim, and to be a support and helper of each other, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahman Rahim. Give barakah and blessing in our time, our rizq, our life, our knowledge, our practice, our deeds, and whatever little bit of good things we do, by your fadl and mercy, accept. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, enable us to work for your deen like your true awliya and sulaha did. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Malika Yawmiddin, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, Ghayri al-Maghdubi alayhim, Radhiyallahu anhum. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاك الله